Shlomo Carliner, doth delight to light with wax candles. But most of us light with oil. Right, something to snap off. The first time I lit with oil was in the dorm here. The first time ever. Rav Shlomo Carliner was makbid to light with wax. He doth delight it. So the chassidim would humble him. They said, the oil on Hanukkah is like the wine on Purim. You know, it's the way the miracle happened. It's from Hudar. It's the right way to do it, you know. See, he knows I like the wax. They handle, why? What's with the wax, you know? So he said, the oil, when the oil burns out, it's gone. It doesn't leave a trace. It burns clean. But when the wax candles start to melt, the wax gets all over the place. So that when Hanukkah's over, there's still little drips on the floor, little on the counter. I lit outside. And my kids, we lit inside, by the kitchen, by the door with wax candles, and it's a tremendous mess. But there's a mark, there's a little remnant of Hanukkah still, even a little bit after Hanukkah, he wanted the wax, something to hold on to. So one year, couldn't find wax, and Shlomo was very distressed. He had to use oil, And it was the end of Hanukkah, it was Hanukkah, and he lit up, all the lights. And something caught on fire, like the drape or whatever it was, and it was just like boom, right away, there was like this fire, and it was like a wild thing. And it was in the Shtetlach and Karlin and places like that. We know the stories of what happened in Brisk and Breslov when there was fires. I mean, in a matter of minutes, the whole town could go up. So they quickly jumped on and they tried to put the fire out. But before they were able to put it out, it made like this big spot on the wall. It was filled with, black and soot and smoke. And Shlomo Carliner was so excited. He was jumping up and down. His wife was like, "What? Are you nuts? The wall?" He said, "We'll have a little bit of Hanukkah with us for a little bit longer. We'll be able to have, to hold on to Hanukkah just for a little bit longer. We'll have this little stain on the wall, the soot and the smoke and the burn mark on the wall." So for those of us whose wives would not be into a burn mark on the wall, or for those of us who, are not on that level, leaving Hanukkah is hard. Well, what can you say? A couple days ago, it was only, last night, we were still saying Al Nisim. We started supper last night before Shkia, able to say Al Nisim one more time. Just a couple nights ago, we were sitting Lamatha Me'asara, we were sitting with the Shechina. Meir B'chol HaLamos. The Lamed Vav Neiros, the Neiros of all of Shas, the Or Adonis LaTzadikim, that sweet light, that enveloping light, banished all the darkness and the cynicism and the negativity, and for 8 days, just took us to a place of total purity and chayin, a place of real inner beauty, of pnimius, of being lit, of feeling elevated. That sweetness and that joy of Hallel day after day after day. And now we come to Teves. And we're at the edge of a very, very long and deep darkness. The Gemara refers to the long nights of Teves. The Bnei Yisachar sees a remez to the month of Teves and the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vateres hayeled, vateroso ki tovu. They saw the child Moshe was born, that Tov came into the world, and Rashi says the room was filled with light, that Tov is the light that filled the room. Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who had delivered the Torah to Klal Yisrael. But Titzpineu Shlosh Yirachim, and Moshe was hidden away, they hid him away. In the Ten Commandments, they hid him away underneath the laundry basket or whatever. So that the Egyptians wouldn't know that he was born, wouldn't take him away and throw him in the Nile River. They saw that Moshe Rabbeinu brought light into the world, but the Tzpineir Shlosh Yirachim says to the Bnei Yisachar, this is a remez to the struggle between Yaakov Avinu and Esav on a metaphysical plane, the struggle over not just who's going to control Eretz Yisrael, whether Rome is going to be elevated or Yerushalayim is going to be elevated, but a metaphysical battle over time. And Esav managed to wrestle away 3 months. The Shlosh Yirachim, where life is hidden away, where the influence of Esav is in the world. Teves, Tishres for 6 weeks until the middle of Shvat, and Tammuz for 6 weeks until the 15th of Av, on opposite ends of the calendar, the depth of winter and the depth of summer. We're standing here at the brink of a tekufa of darkness. The question on everyone's mind is how we can hold on to the light a little bit. How we're able to keep the light, the flow of the Neros Chanukah burning in our lives. Yaakov Avinu in our Parsha was also facing a darkness. He was also standing on the brink, at the edge of a very deep and scary darkness. When Yaakov Avinu decided that the family would go down to Mitzrayim, that the next stage of history would begin to unfold with the descent into Egypt, Vayomer Elokim Yisrael B'maros Laila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu B'marot Laila in a vision of darkness. Yaakov Avinu perceived himself surrounded by darkness. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains because Yaakov was afraid the Shechina would depart. And the Netziv says that Yaakov was afraid that he would go down to Mitzrayim and his children would begin to assimilate. They'd be influenced by the negativity, by the hashpa of the Mitzrayim. So Yaakov perceived Hashem b'maros laila, in the depth of night. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu three things. These three things are something we can all hold on to. Al tira, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the darkness. This yirida is a necessary part of the development of your personal story and the development of the narrative of the Jewish people. Al tira, don't be afraid. Kiata Tayir Neiri Hashem Elokai Yagi Achoshki. Hashem says, I'm with you. If when you're surrounded by darkness, I'll be your candle to illuminate your path. Kiyeshev Bachoshach Hashem Orli. We're sitting in darkness, Hashem is our light. Al tira, Anochi Eireni Mach Mitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid. This is part of the process. This Yerida is a necessary part of the story. It's a necessary part of your development, of your growth. And you're not going at it alone. I'm with you. Anochi Eireni Mach Mitzrayim. I, Hashem says, Kel Yachol, I'm going down with you. Anochi Aolcha Gam Alo. Kedusha Slavi explains this double language of Aolcha Gam Alo is Hashem telling Yaakov Avinu, it's for your own good. That there has to be a lull. That there has to be a valley. In order to reach the peaks, you have to go down. In order for there to be an Aliyah, even if a person's on a very high level, maybe Bedak if a person's on a very high level. Anochi Aolcha Gam Alo. In order to get higher, in order to strive more, in order to become great, in order for the next stage to unfold, you have to go down. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is assuring Yaakov Avinu, I'm with you. The words of David HaMelech, Meisak Shamayim Shamata Va'atziya Sha'ol Hineka. If you find yourself, you perceive yourself to be in the highest places of Shamayim, in a point of elevation, of inspiration, Shamata. I'm there. Va'atziya Sha'ol, but if you feel that you're descending to the belly, to the pits of hell, Va'atziya Sha'ol Hineka. David says, I see you, Hashem, are with me all the way through. Don't be afraid. One of the great heroes in the Jewish people, one of the great heroes for the Jewish people that, I don't know, I was raised on, and I would guess that if you'd ask your parents or siblings or older friends who grew up, you know, who grew up in like the 70s and 80s, they would also feel the same way, that one of the greatest heroes of Klal Yisrael today was Natan Sharansky. Now, it's not the time or place to talk about his personal avoda. The truth is, it's never the time or place to talk about anybody's level of personal observance. He's a very fine and erlucha Jew. Let's throw it in. Very fine and erlucha Jew who went through the almost the unimaginable. For 8 years he braved the Soviet Gulag, Siberia, solitary confinement, physical torture, mental torture. And he came out a symbol of resistance, of resilience, a symbol of freedom. Not just for Klal Yisrael. No, he was awarded the Congressional Medal and the President's Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's spoken at the UN. When he came back, when he came to Eretz Israel to be reunited with his wife, he was carried on people's shoulders to the Kotel. It was a national celebration. One of the most influential books I ever read in my life in high school. I read Fear No Evil, which is Nathan Sharansky's story, his personal story. Mumlatz. So we had an opportunity a couple years ago to sit with him. And one of the guys asked, how did you survive such trials? How did you do it? You went through so many challenges. You went through so much, so many different levels of Gehenna and personal struggle and challenge. I mean, how did you do it? So Sharansky said to him, "Ani Yehudi." That's what Jews do. "Ani Yehudi." That's what Jews do. Literally, "Ani Yehudi" means, not that I'm a Jew. "Ani Yehudi" means I'm a descendant of Yehuda. I'm a descendant of Yehuda. Now, the Svasamis asked the question, and Rav Soloveitchik asks it in the same way, just with different words. What is the pshat that for generations, that for all of history, we refer to ourselves as Yehudim? "Ani Yehudi." Daniel Pearl, Hashem Yikom Domo, was not a Jew who was particularly connected to Jewish observance on an external level. He was not married to a Jew. As far as we know, he didn't have a pair of tefillin. As far as we know, he wasn't machmir on kashrus when he was on assignment for CNN and other newspapers and news sources in Iraq and the Middle East. And yet Daniel Pearl is a symbol for all of the world of someone being killed al kiddush Hashem. His final words before being beheaded by monsters in Iraq was, "Ani Yehudi, I'm a Jew. My father was a Jew. My grandfather was a Jew. There's a street named from Izeda in Bnei Brak," he said. Where did that come from? And why "Ani Yehudi"? I'm a descendant of Yehuda. It says of Soloveitchik, Yehuda, I mean, if you're following the parsha the last couple of weeks, I know everyone's busy with Chanukavorts, but if you're following the parshas in the last couple of weeks, Yehuda had a rough go recently. Yehuda is a symbol of personal failure. One thing after another is just a big fumble on the goal line for Yehuda. He has a chance to save Yosef. He's the brother everybody's looking at. And he can rally his brothers all together. Instead, boom, he drops the ball. Let's throw Yosef in the pit. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelim. Yehuda is the one who dips the ketonet pasim, the symbol of his brother's connection to his father, the symbol of Yaakov Avinu's love for Yosef. Yehuda is the one who takes the ketonet pasim and dips it in the blood and hangs it before Yaakov Avinu's eyes. And Yaakov Avinu was never consoled from it. He was a broken man from it. "Ani Yehudi, I'm a descendant of Yehuda." I mean, after Parshas Vayeshev, Vayhi by Esahi, Vayered Yehuda Me'esachav, Vayered Yehuda Me'esachav, Yehuda was degraded, he was debased, he was shunned, he was alone. His brothers saw that he was just a fallen person, that he was a failure. He got mixed up with the Adulami, the whole tragedy of Erva Onan, the sordid affair with Tamar. I mean, we're in yeshiva, we can't, you know, spare the details. But I mean, I'll be pshat. He's on the outs. His brothers had no faith in him. He wasn't trusted. He came up with a whole plan to rescue Shimon from prison, to trade Binyamin. And everybody's looking at him like, "Yehuda, you know, you don't have the best track record. It hasn't been so good for you. You haven't shown that you've made such good decisions." One after the other, we have Yehuda. He's one of the Shiftei Ka. Mitaso Shleim of Yaakovin is one of the Holy Shvatim. But I mean, Givat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah, Yehuda is just one failure after another. And yet for all of Jewish history, "Ani Yehudi." We're called Yehuda, we're called Yidden. Yosef, on the other hand, Yosef is the one. Yosef is going to be Yaakov Avinu's successor. The original plan in the chain of transmission from Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu to Yitzchak Avinu to Yaakov Avinu to Yosef. He was good-looking, the beloved son of Rachel, the beloved wife. He had charisma, he had chen matzachen. He was his father's chavrusa, they sat and learned together. this beloved symbol of Yaakov Avinu, this one, the successor, is sold out. He's betrayed. He's all alone. But in the depths of his alone, where he's totally got messed over by, sold out by his brothers, Meshech Chachma says, the root of all pegamim for all of history, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, comes from the Mechiras Yosef. Every negative movement, every pegam in the Avas Yisrael and Ba'aftal Recha Kamocha, every act of selfishness, every act of negativity between one human being and another, finds its root back in the Mechiras Yosef. Yosef is the one who got, Yosef got messed over the worst. And yet, when he was all alone, in a situation where no one would ever find out, Yosef stands up to the seduction of Ishus Potiphar, the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, it's almost unbelievable, the inner strength. That's why Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. He ended up in jail, he goes to prison, he becomes the master of dreams. Even in that place, Yosef becomes the one, his charisma, his chayin, his talent, his abilities. He becomes the prime minister, he saves all of Mitzrayim, ultimately saves his brothers, and in this week's parsha, is Misgavir and Mavir and his Midos, forgives his brothers and says, let's move on, it's all good. So why are we called Yehudim? Should be called Yosefim. Says the Rav, Yehuda and Yosef, two archetypal personalities. B'makom shebaal tshuva omdim, tzadikim gemurim einem yicholim lamod sham. In a place where a baal tshuva, in a place where someone who had failed, but then kept going, someone who fell short of their goal, but then got it together to go weiter and try again, in a place where that Jew stands, the greatest tzadik can't even reach. Someone who's been through the valleys, someone who's had the raw end of the deal, Yehuda, the symbol of failure, is who we're called after. Because the story of the Jewish people is the story of Yehuda. It's not the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Yehuda is the consummate Baal Tshuva. He's the fighter. He's our role model. Malchus Yisrael comes from a place of resilience in the face of Yerida. Listen to this Torah. This is a Torah that's totally perspective-altering and potentially life-changing. Rav Shlomo said that in 1993 in Qatar, he said this Torah. He said this Torah totally changed his life. It's a Torah from Rav Motl Chernobler. It says Rav Motl Chernobler, the litmus test for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not how many mitzvahs am I doing and how many averus am I doing. It's not, am I doing bad? Am I making mistakes? Am I falling short? It's not how I'm able to be to standing up to Nisyonos. That's not the litmus test. It says with Matul Chinova, the litmus test is that if I make the worst mistake in the world, that I have the biggest mess up, the most terrible, horrible Avei Rachet in the world, am I davening Mincha afterwards with Geshmak? It's because if I'm not able to get it together, to daven mincha like it's Yom Kippur, to daven mincha with simcha, with confidence that Hashem is waiting for my tefillah, says Rav Motl Chernobler, I'm not very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means I'm totally missing the point. Not only that, he says there's an aspect of Avodah Zarah, there's an aspect of paganism there. Because that's not the way Hashem is. That's not reflecting, that doesn't reflect an understanding of the relationship between a Jew and God. What, our relationship with Hashem is so fragile, it's so tenuous, that because we mess up, we can't face the Ribbono Shel Olam? What if we mess up, if we miss a chakras, if we don't bench, if we violate the covenant, or we have a moment of weakness with a girlfriend, or on Shabbos, or with whatever it may be, what, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not interested in us? That's how fragile, that's how tenuous our kesher is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not, it's so much deeper than that. A Jew is chelak elokam imal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time. Ribbono Shel Olam is interested in everything we're doing. There's no such thing as a Jew has gone too far. There's no such thing as too late. We can't do anything to sever the kesher between us and Hashem. So when we make a mistake, when we fumble the ball on the goal line, even if it's the most public failure that there is, and Yehuda's failure with Tamar, the Chosem and his cloak and his staff, was the Super Bowl. I mean, it was the whole world knew. It was on every blog and the front page of every newspaper. It wasn't father, Yaakov Avinu, was well aware of his shortcomings, and anybody who's ever opened up the good book is well aware of Yehuda's shortcomings. But his kesher to Hashem was so strong. Yehuda was so connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was so confident in the fact that Hashem was still interested in him. He didn't feel rejected and alienated from God. Adarabba, Yehuda had this confidence. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still expecting great things from him. A person can never allow, we can never, don't forget a person, I can never allow, you can never allow, we can never allow our failures, our hurt or betrayal, any hardships we face or any mistakes that we make, to stand in the way of achieving our goal of being close to Hashem. Because it's happening, because it's there. It's real, it's going on. We just have to understand it, we just have to realize it. We just have to be aware of it. Altira, Anochi Eredimach, Anochi Aucha Gam Olo. In the darkest places, Hashem says, don't be afraid. Dafke in the lowest places. Anochi Eredimach, I'm there with you. And I'm going to bring you up, just realize that I'm there. Alter Rebbe pointed out, and the truth is, it's the old beginning of Netzach Yisrael and Maral. Yehuda is Kulo Shem Hashem except for Dalet. Dalet is the letter of Pirut. Arba Kanfos Haaretz. If we want to bring together Yud Hey and Vav Hey, so we have to go fight against Pirut. If we want to come against, if we want to fight against Pirut in the world, if we want to bring the different disparate parts of our personality together and see our lives as one big story as opposed to a series of failures and ups and downs, but to see it as one big story, then we have to realize, Ani Yehudi, we're following the story and the pattern of Yehuda. Hashem's name, Yudke Vodke, appears in the name of the Shevet that most symbolizes struggle, that most symbolizes resilience. Yehuda is like the captain of the team. He's the captain of the brothers. Tayyaducha Achicha, Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda. Yehuda is the mouth this comes from. But he's the captain of the team that's just shooting up brick after brick, air ball after air ball, throwing away passes, traveling, getting caught with the ball at the shot clock, and it's the championship game. And he's just blowing it terribly. There's no time on the clock. Yehuda is able to look at his teammates in the eye and say, okay, give me the ball. I can do it. I got this one. Everyone's kind of looking at him like, I mean, do you know what just went on here this last four quarters? You were horrible. But the mark of a leader, the mark of a great ball player, it's not so different in this world. It's not so different in Avodas Hashem. Someone who's aware of that, I know. I know if I throw up a brick, I missed the layup. You know, I know I missed the dunk. But give me the ball, I can do it. I got this one. Because if we truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting great things of us, that Hashem is there waiting for us to try again, to go weiter, so then we want the ball. You're reading the Rabbi Feifeld book, right? Yeah. I remember last time. So there's a couple books now of Shmuzin that just keep coming out, so it's unbelievable. And CDs, and just, it's amazing. It's another Shlom in my life. You know? So there's, Rav Feifeld said that this idea revolutionized the entire concept that he had of what a human being is, of what it means to be a human, what it means to be a Jew. He quotes the Tehillim of David HaMelech from the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. If you take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva in the sixth parak, parak vav halacha hey, Rambam quotes Tehillim in Hilchos Teshuva: Tov v'yasher Hashem. God is good and straight. Al-Kain, Yorech Chatoim Badarech. Therefore, because God is good and straight, therefore, He teaches Chatoim the way. So define Chatoim. We define Chayit as a sin. Chatoim are sinners. But since God is Yashar V'Tov, God is good and straight, so Hashem will show the sinners the way. Chatoim doesn't mean sinners. That's not a Jewish word. And once Rav Noach Weinberg, you should be well, say to a Madrich in Eish HaTorah, we had like a little training thing with him, and he was asking people to read like certain phrases, say certain phrases, and translate them into English, and he was just tear us apart. So someone said, you know, Chet, the translator of Chet is a sin, So he said, maybe in the church down the block, but not in the yeshiva. Chet doesn't mean to sin. Chet means a missed opportunity. Avera means a missed chance, a blown chance. Says Rabbi Freifeld, chet is a failure. Chataim, the people who are called chataim, are people who just fail over and over and over again. People just keep dropping the ball. You know, butterfing is every time they get like pitched a handoff, it just like slips right through their fingers. Tov v'yasher Hashem, God is straight and good. Al kein, therefore, yorech chataim baderech. Therefore, Hashem will show those who have failed over and over and over again the proper way. Okay, that's great. It's a good part, no? A good part. So how does that work, though? How does Hashem show us the way? Me the way? How does God show us the way to overcome failure? So the Rambam, Hilchas Teshuva, in the end of the halacha, says two things. First thing the Rambam says, Zeh sheshalach neviim lahem. Hashem sent us prophets. Modim darchei Hashem, machzir nosam b'tshuva. Hashem sent us prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, you read the book. There's lots of, they're screaming their heads off. They're standing on the steps, you know, in the street corner, somewhere near the Har Habayis, screaming, you know, get it together. And everybody's kind of saying, yeah, okay, you know. My neighbor has a problem, not me. The Nevi'im are there, the messages are there. And there weren't a few Gedolei Hador over the previous generations who said that nowadays, Bali Musar and Bali Machshava and our Rabbeim and our Rabbonim and the Mashkichim and all the Bali Musar are the ones who are showing us the way with the Divrei Torah, with the Divrei Asorus. That's the first way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us the way, is through His Torah, through His teachers. To help us break the cycle. But the Rambam continues. V'od, Shenasin Behem Koach Lil Modu Lahavid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the ability to learn and to understand. Shemida Zo B'chol Adam. Every single person, every individual has the ability, Lil Modu Lahavid, to understand on their own level. To be aware of and to realize, she calls man shu nimshach b'darchei chachma v'tzedek, that the extent that we invest ourselves to be learning the darchei chachma v'tzedek, the pathways of wisdom and righteousness of what it means to be an upright person, the extent that we invest ourselves in that knowledge and that avod and that pursuit of chachma, of that pursuit of tzedek, whether it be learning Torah or working on our midos or involved in chesed or an avod or whatever it may be, mis'avilahen. Inherent in every person is a desire to engage the mind, to search for truth, to become great, to transcend, to work on ourselves. Says the Rambam, when we awaken that inner force, when we start to learn that shekol zman, whenever we start to be nimshach b'darchei achachma v'tzedek, mis'avilahen v'rodei v'osam. Once the ball gets moving a little bit, those rusty chains inside of our mind that are like totally corrupted and stuck in a Western Christian technocratic society and totally looking at the world through the eyes of some programmers in Hollywood and Madison Avenue, when we start to come out of that a little bit, we start to like look at the world not through the eyes of popular culture, popular music and MTV. So like we start to like realize, whoa, there's a whole other world here. There's an infinite world of Kedusha, Tara, of like Yiddishkeit. There's a whole other thing happening. It's like this whole world becomes illuminated. And we start to be drawn after it. Like a moth to the zapper in the falafel store. Like you're just going for the light. Because it awakens us, says the Rambam, Avalim Rode Fosam. We're drawn to it because every single person desires connectivity. Every person wants to be connected to something real, to something good. Umasha Amar, and this is what the Chachamim say, the Rambam quotes, Tabal Atar Masayno so. That if someone comes to be Matar themselves, we make a movement, we take a step in the right direction, so Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us along. Klomar, and these are the words of the Rambam, not Rabbi Nachman. Klomar, Yimtza Atzmo Nezar Al Hadavar. Klomar, Yimtza Atzmo, a person will find themselves Nezar Al Hadavar. How do we overcome failure after failure after failure? When we first put a little bit of the effort, when we want to overcome, when we want to work, when we want to grow in Torah, Avodah, whatever it is, want that, and we make that effort to learn a little something, to daven a little something, to try to be a little less self-absorbed, nimtza atzmo nezer b'davar. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping us along the whole way. To the extent that we invest ourselves in Talmud Torah, and the Rambam specifically talking about Talmud Torah, that we begin to unlock the hidden light inside of the Torah, near mitzvah of the Torah or, we could start to unlock the light inside of the Torah, the light of this truthful perspective, this healthy way of looking at the world, at relationships, at ourselves, this like totally normal Jewish way of looking at the world. So we start to sense nimtza atzmo ne'ezar. We start to sense that like we're being moved along a little bit. And Yehuda had the courage to look his father in the eye and look his brothers in the eye after all of those shortcomings and say, I want the ball. There's no time on the clock, but I could hit the shot. I could hit the shot. I could do it. That comes from a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Sometimes it's hard to feel that when we're learning. Sometimes we're learning whatever you're learning, a Kitzos, you're learning a Tosis, you're learning a Mishnah Brura, or even if a person's learning Musar, or learning Chassidus, a person's learning some Sicha, something that's specifically directed toward his Oros, sometimes we could just like be going through it and not feeling it necessarily. We have to know that every single effort that we make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding infinitely to draw us forward. We might not feel it that second. We might not perceive it at that moment. We have to know that it's happening. It says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the great Rosh Yeshiva, it's the job of a mechanech, the job of a Rebbe. The whole goal of Torah, of giving down Torah, is to foster a passionate concern for Torah. Is to foster an inner a feeling. That's not so much what we're doing, but it's how it's being done. It's the attitude that we have in our learning. As opposed to the sugya itself. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein also said it's a moral failure if a person doesn't understand Tosfos. But what's most important, what's primary, and what's secondary? What's the Iker and what's the Tafel? Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, we have to know that the sense of Kihem Chayenu Vorech Yameinu, that Torah is our life, it's the source of our life and the length of our days, is far more important than actual knowledge. And that Avas HaTorah trumps Yediyas HaTorah. That sometimes we don't understand Shir. And sometimes we're stuck. And sometimes we're not feeling it. And sometimes we don't have the extra koach to push ourselves to learn a little bit more. The Avas HaTorah is far more important than the Yediyas. It's not about how many block Gemara we learn. It's not about how many Siyumim we make this year. It's not about how many Mishnayos we make. The Iyun, the Kiyos, whatever it is. It's not about anything external. It's about how badly we want it. It's about the resilience that we develop and the confidence that we develop that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us and expecting from us. Maybe that's what we can understand the pshat in our parsha. When Yaakov Avinu decides that everyone's going down to Mitzrayim, so v'es Yehuda shalach lafanav v'Yosef. Yaakov Avinu sends Yehuda down to Yosef lahoros lafanav Goshna. He sends Yehuda down to be the bulkhead, to direct the way toward Goshen, vayavo arza Goshen. And Yehuda arrived at Goshen. Says Rashi, what's the Medrash HaGadah say? What Yehuda's goal, what Yehuda's job was in being sent down to Mitzrayim? This week's parasha, what does he say? Yeah, Lasaki and Lod by a base Talmud to go down and build a yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu sent his son down to build a yeshiva. Shemisham tetzei hora. So Rav Matasiah Solomon, Mashgiach of Lakewood, says that before Yaakov Avinu would go to a place, he had to make sure that it was a makom Torah, that there had to be a hashpa, that the environment, the neighborhood had to be filled with the kedusha of Torah, with the light of learning, to protect him and his children from the shtupei zima, from the ervas haaretz of the mitzrim. There had to be a proper yeshiva over there. But why Yehuda? Yosef was there already. Yosef was still, as they say, a rangatugin in the sugya of the Akolos of the Eglah Rupa with his father, decades later. He was still like involved in the sugya. Yosef could have very easily set up shop, bought a shtender, a couple bookshelves, ordered Rav Tzuriel's awesome safe for 50 shekel outside. There's only 5 people signed up. He could have very easily done, made a very nice basement. He was the prime minister. All he had to do was sign off on it, and they would have built a very nice already know the answer. The answer is because Ani Yehudi. Anachnu Yehudim, because we're Yidden. Because Yehuda is the real life role model. Because in the real world, in the world that all of us are living in, whether we're here or there, whether we're in the Bein Kosle, a Beis Medrash, or we're going to be Bein Kosle, whatever we're going to, Chutz La'aretz, wherever we are, Yehuda is the role model for a person who's alive in this world, who's living in the real world, Lamaisa. And it's Dafka Yehuda who's the one, the fighter, the resilient one, who knows how to deal with struggle, knows how to deal with failure. Not Yosef HaTzadik, who's the one who has to establish the Beis HaMedrash. Because we're Yehudim, we're not Yosefim. I'm Lav Malk with a very special Jew named Raz Hartman. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim and Achal Ot. He pointed out that this is the first yeshiva that Klal Yisrael is building. Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eva is a different thing. This is the first yeshiva of Klal Yisrael. And it's Dafka built in Goshen. Goshna and Eretz Goshen. The root of Goshen is the same as the name of our parsha, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. It means to come close. The goal of yeshiva, the goal of Torah is to draw close. Yaakov Avinu was telling his son Yehuda, listen, you know about Pirut, you know about failure, you know about resilience. Go down to Mitzrayim and set up a Beis Medrash. Misham Teitzei Hora, where you'll be able to instruct all of us. Where you'll be able to teach all of us about what it means to be a Chotek. What it means to be someone who falls short because life is not perfect. Yehuda goes down to Mitzrayim to build the yeshiva in Goshen, to build a place where people are going to be able to come close to the Torah, to be able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Earlier in the parsha, that's what Yosef says. I just saw it today. When Yosef reveals himself after all the drama, after all the heartbreak, and the Oylanum Yom HaDin, the Oylanum Yom HaTochacha, after all the intense moments of Yosef and the brothers, Yosef says, V'yashavta of Eretz Goshen, come down and live in Goshen. V'hayisa karov elai, so you can be close to me. The whole goal of yeshiva, the whole goal of Torah is closeness. If we're learning Torah and it's driving us away from other people, then we're not really learning Torah. If we're learning Torah and it's driving a wedge between us and our parents, then there's something, the pipes are rusty and the water is getting tainted. If we're learning Torah and it's not through the prism of his kashrus, of connecting us to our friends and to a tzibur, to a community and to Klal Yisrael, if we're learning Torah and we're not feeling deeply what's happening in the South, that our davening is not different from it, that our way of going through our day is not different, if we're not feeling connected, then we're missing the point of Yaakov Avinu sending Yehuda to Goshen. We're missing the whole point of the Parsha. How many hours was Hanukkah? Someone fast. There's got to be someone who's good at math. 192. It's Gematria Kabetz. Kuf Beis Tzadi says the B'nai Sascha, the whole inyan of Hanukkah is bringing together. Fire melds together. It brings us all together. Kabetz Nitchei Amoy, so all the sparks of Klal Yisrael. You know that Ynet said? Ynet is not our Sheva. Ynet is if they have an agenda, it's not to show that Yiddishkeit is thriving and Torah is strong. 91% of Israelis lit Hanukkah candles. 91% of Israelis lit Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah is a time when we're getting lit. The Nusach and Nusach Sfard is Lahadlik Ner Hanukkah. It's Rosh Hashanah's Nachal. Nasheinu Chikzal Hashem, Notzach Chesed La'alafim. Kadosh Baruch was responding with unbelievable Kedusha. See, that's what happened on Hanukkah. On Hanukkah we got a little bit lit. We had a little bit of a moment of driving away darkness. We felt a little of like the near mitzvah of a Torah or. We felt the warmth. We felt the Zaydim Biad Oski Tarasecha. Hanukkah is different in yeshiva. It's a totally different experience in Eretz Yisrael, Bechlal, but Befrat in yeshiva. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem tarasi al tazovu. Torah is called tov. Tov li Torah spicha me'elef alfei zav v'keseh. Torah is the most important thing in the world. It's the tov. It's that same Tov, it's Pneu Shlosh Rachim that filled the room with light. Torah is something that illuminates, something that envelops us, that brings us together. V'ani kirvas Elokim li Tov. The goal of Torah is kirvas Elokim li Tov. It's to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be close to each other. Yehuda, who drove a wedge between the family, ultimately his tikkun is bringing everyone back together. The Hanukkah we're making this pu'ula, we're lighting the candles. We're saying to Hashem, we want to be lit. We want to be on fire. We want this to last. We want this to continue. We don't want to just have illumination for 8 days. So we know all of arts. But now that the candles aren't burning anymore, every single one of us internalizes those lights. But how do we do that lamaisa? You know, Teves is the source of Hatavas Haner. The Beis HaMikdash, one of the jobs of the Kohanim would be to prepare the candles, to clean out the vessel, to change the oil and the wicks. But we all know that the job of the Kohen is basically symbolic. That whatever the Kohen was doing in lighting up the candles of the Beis HaMikdash to spread light for the entire world, the Hatavas Haner was just like kind of setting up an aliyup for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to drive it home. Because a little bit of light down here, and boom, the Ribono Shel Olam responds, Kevyachol, with an incredible influx of light and fire from above. This is Rusa Dela'ela, total heavenly fire. All of the candles that we were lighting over the past 8 days was an aspect of Hatavas Haner. It's just preparing us for the month of Teves. It's just preparing us for the times of darkness, where we don't have that menorah, that Chanukiah to sit in front of. And all that spinning of the dreidel, Nes Gadol Hayasham, so you all know the verse, Nes Gadol Hayasham, yeah, the Chassidim and the Mekubalim are makbid, not to use the ones that say, Nes Gadol Hayapo. Right, because Goshna. Because we have to remember, the letters of the dreidel are both the letters of Goshna. That the whole idea of everything that we're doing on Chanukah, and always is to be Makabit, is to bring us closer. To bring us closer to each other, to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz's Yahrzeit, just ending now, just an hour ago or so. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a famous question on Chanukah. So what's the pshat that we focus so much on the Pach Shemen, on the nes of the Pach Shemen, but we leave out the military victory? Military victory is the main thing. I mean, it's the main miracle. Why is it that for us, like, we're so excited about the Pach Shemen? Meaning, if we didn't win the war, we wouldn't be, let alone be able to light candles. So the famous Torah in Sichas Musar, the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that it's true, but it's kind of like a parent making lunch for their kid on the way to go to school in the morning. You have to do it. Like, you know, carpool, you have to, do you leave your kid there at the soccer practice? You leave your kid there at the English club? You have to pick up your child from English club. You have to, the Ribono Shel Olam Kevyachol, we have to win the war. What was it going to be if we didn't win the war? We would have been killed. We would have been wiped out completely. The miracle of the military victory was kind of like a Kodesh Baruch Hu fulfilling his obligation. Hashem Kevyachol had to do it. But it would have been enough if we won the war. But the Pach Shemen, the nes of the candles, the light, spreading out from the Beis HaMikdash day after day after day, for 8 days, that was like a kiss from Hashem. It was like an embrace from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just that the Ribono Shel Olam was doing it. It was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the miracle happen that was so sweet. That's what we're trying to hold on to. That's what we're trying to remember. That sense of an embrace. Rishulev Diskin was the Brisker Rav. He was the other Brisker Rav. People don't call him the Brisker Rav, but he was the Rav of Brisk. He was also the Rav of Mezrich. And he married the Brisker Rebbetzin. Anyways, so he came to Eretz Yisrael. And was fire, it was mamash fire in Yerushalayim. And before he died at the turn of the century, he made an unbelievable contribution to the Jewish people. He saw that there are so many children who were orphans. Ebuch Rabbi Shulayb and his wife took them into their house. They fed them, clothed them, raised them, educated them, everything like their own children. It got to a point where it was just too many kids already. So they built the Diskin Orphanages, the Diskin Orphanage at the entrance to Yerushalayim. He died at the turn of the century. But it was the first major orphanage in Yerushalayim. Anyways, each of these children was mamish like their own child. There was a boy, though, who was, everything was okay, he was learning with the Bishulei, he was being taken care of, he was clothed, he was fed, but he would just break down in tears every single time the Rebbetzin gave him a bath. Just totally lose it. And the Rebbetzin was starting to didn't know what to do. She was very, upset by it. She was very broken by it. She didn't know what to do. She spoke to her husband. So Rishulei took the little boy by the hand and asked him. He said, Tato, tell me, what's happening with you? Is it good for you here? You have clothing. You have, we learn together. You have school, you have friends, you have toys, you have everything. What makes you so upset by the Perach? So he said, everything is so good for me here. I have everything. But when the Rebbetzin takes me out of the bath and she wraps me up in a towel, I just think about how my mother used to take me out of the bath. And my mother would wrap me in a towel and she would give me a kiss and a hug. The Rebbetzin does it so sweetly and so good, but I'm missing that kiss from my mother. Chanukah, the Pach Shemen, was a kiss from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, you made the effort to light this little candle next to the floor that lasts for a couple hours. You're making that effort. You're coming toward me. You're Baal Atahir. So I'm going to help you along. You're Meitiv these Neiros. You set up these candles for me to proclaim my majesty and the Nisim, to be Mekarti in the Neis, to publicize this love of Am Yisrael. Remember, Neis Chanukah didn't last. The story of the Chashmonaim ended there. We're still in Golos. It's 2,000 years and we still haven't gotten it together yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you made the move to me, so I'm going to hold on to you. You might not be lighting the candles on an outside level, but you have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding us very close. There's one thing that we're learning from Vayigash is that we can never give up on ourselves, no matter how many chataim we make, no matter how many failures, no matter how many times we drop the ball, we have to always, always, always believe in ourselves and our ability to fix, and our ability to draw close to Hashem, because Hashem wants us, Hashem believes in us. Altira, Anochi Ereni Machmatzah, I'm going down with you into the Yerida. Teves is a difficult time, it's a dark time. It's a time of long nights, it gets cold, but the light of Chanukah is inside now. Kadosh Baruch Hu is enveloping us. Hashem is holding us tight. Let's hope that Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us remember those moments and hold on to that feeling. Not give up on ourselves, not give up on our opportunity and our ability to fix and to be great. And Mir Tzashem, we should be zocha to the kiss that Yosef gave over to his brothers at the end of the amazing reunion. Rashi says that Yosef is Hosef ben Ashika, Menashek v'holech. Yosef just kept kissing his brothers. When brothers are together, when Klal Yisrael is together, when we're thinking about each other, when we're holding on to each other, when we're watching out for each other, so it's Menashek v'holech, Hosef ben Ashika. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue to hold us and kiss us. Shev Besoros Tovos.